from the legs. Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead. Yagye became manifested. Susa, service. Dharma, occupational duty. Siddhaye, for the matter of. Bhishyam, sorry, it's tasyam. In that, jataha, being generated. Pura, formerly. Sudra, the servitors. Yadvritya, the occupation by which. Tushyate, become satisfied. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. Thereafter, service is manifested from the legs of the Personality of Godhead for the sake of perfecting the religious function. Situated on the legs are the sudras who satisfy the Lord by service. Purport. Service is the real constitutional occupation of all living entities. The living entities are meant to render service to the Lord, and they can attain religious perfection by this service attitude. One cannot attain religious perfection simply by speculating to attain theoretic knowledge. The Jnani division of spiritualists go on speculating only to distinguish the soul from matter, but they have no information of the activities of the soul after being liberated by knowledge. It is said that persons who only mentally speculate to know things as they are and who do not engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are simply wasting their time. It is clearly said here that the principle of service was generated from the legs of the Lord for the sake of perfecting the religious process, but this transcendental service is different from the idea of service in the material world. In the material world, no one wants to be a servant. Everyone wants to become the master, because false mastership is the basic disease of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul in the material world wants to lord it over others. Illusioned by the external energy of the Lord, he's forced to become a servant of the material world. That is the real position of the conditioned soul. The last snare of the illusory external energy is the conception of becoming one with the Lord. And due to this conception, the illusioned soul remains in the bondage of material energy, falsely thinking himself a liberated soul and as good as Narayana. It is actually better to be a Sudra than to be a Brahmana and not develop the service attitude, because that attitude alone satisfies the Lord. Every living being, even if he be a Brahmana by qualification, must take to the transcendental service of the Lord. Both Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam support that this service attitude is the perfection of the living entity. A Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra can perfect his occupational duties only by rendering service unto the Lord. A Brahmana is supposed to know this fact due to his perfection in Vedic wisdom. The other sections are supposed to follow the direction of the Brahmana, Vaishnava. One who is a Brahmana by qualification and a Vaishnava by action. That will make the entire society perfect in regard to the order of its social construction. A disordered society cannot satisfy either the members of the society or the Lord. Even if one is not a perfect Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, but taken to the service of the Lord, not caring for the perfection of a social position, he becomes a perfect human being simply by developing the attitude of service to the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnanatim Narandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshuraminitam yena tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragratam Vitam Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisankam Vitamstya. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhivindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare The actual nature of the living being is completely spiritual, and his existence on the bodily platform is simply illusory and dreamlike. Dreamlike in the sense that the experience that we are having here is very temporary and never lasting, and therefore whatever is happening in this world is not the essential experience. The essential experience is the experience in relation to Krishna. However, one can somehow or other within this world also recognize Krishna. Krishna eternally resides in his spiritual transcendental abode, which is different from the material energy. Still, the material energy is also the separated energy of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the devotee can recognize the Supreme Lord within the material energy, although in itself the nature of material energy is non-permanent. Therefore, you cannot have a relationship with the material energy, because no matter how much you try, the object that you are having a relationship with is changing. So when you're having a bodily relationship with some person or other, that relationship cannot remain. The very body that you're having a relationship with is subject to change. The relationships between husband and wife, the relationships between parents and children, all these relationships are constantly subject to change. And we may put so much faith in these relationships for our happiness, but in reality, there is no such thing as actual happiness, because even the happiness is constantly subject to change and is not remaining. Therefore, true happiness only exists in a spiritual relationship, which is constant and eternal. The spiritualists, the transcendentalists, are fully aware of this. But for the materialist, it's very difficult to understand that there is no happiness in the material world. This is a very, very difficult fact to understand. So the Vedic culture recognizes this principle, that the illusory energy is so strong that people, no matter how much information we supply them about the nature of transcendence, still remain deep in their heart convinced that there is at least some happiness in the material world. Therefore, Lord Krishna has given the regulated process of Varna Ashram for gradually purifying the tendency to enjoy in this material world. The tendency to try and find happiness in the material world, for those who believe that it can be done, it is said, all right, go ahead, but you cannot just do it in any possible way, looking for your happiness. You must do it according to certain prescribed rules. So don't just live according to your mind or according to your senses, but live according to scriptures, which will give you revealed guidelines of how to act and how not to act. So the scriptures, they allow different levels of action. They allow one to act on the level of a brahmana, or on the level of a kshatriya, the level of a vaishya, or the level of a sudra. The brahmana, he is only acting on the intellectual platform. He is very much aware that there are activities which give a good result, and there are activities which give a bad result, and he will only perform those activities which will give a good result in the long run. So he is always concerned with that. Etavat janma safalyam. He is fully dedicated to make his life safalya, successful, that which gives good fruits. And therefore, deinami yadeisu, he is concerned with doing the positive activity for all embodied beings, including himself. And therefore, he is always engaged with pranir artha diya vacha in sreya acharanam sada. Sreya acharanam sada means acharanam sada. He is always engaged in activities of sreyas. Activities of sreyas are referred to as activities that give benefit in the long term. Sreyas opposed to prayas. Prayas are activities that lead to immediate enjoyment now, but give suffering in the long run. So, the brahmanas will not go for prayas, for activities that give immediate enjoyment now, but in the long run no happiness. The example is given of children who have to go to school. They don't want to go to school, they want to play. Right? Who wants to go to school? Right? But by going to school, it is an investment in the future. It may not be the most desired thing now, but for the future it will give so much benefit. And those who don't go to school may play now, but suffer later. This is the concept of prayas and shreyas. So, it is said, democracy in our time is giving the children a chance to decide how many days a year they want to go to school. And all the children come together and they decide how long they want to go to school for. And then they vote all together, and then that is the outcome, right? And the outcome is, we want to have one big holiday. That's natural, right? Therefore, it doesn't work. So therefore, democracy is a non-brahminical system of government. The brahminical system of government is based on scriptures. And the Brahmins, they base their life on scriptures, and the scripture decides what action is correct and what action is not correct. The Kshatriyas are implementing these principles. So the entire Vedic system is exalted. The Sudras, they are concerned with prayas. The Sudras are concerned with the immediate enjoyment, right? And they don't care for the future, right? And this is typically the symptom of this age, right? And we see many people who have done so many things that they practically burned themselves out, right? And so many years later they have to pay for many, many years, right? I myself did so many things that were destructive to my body in the past, and now I pay. This is a fact. So, that is prayas, not very intelligent. So Sudra will be inclined in this way, even in the Vedic culture. The Sudra cannot really engage in activities of shreyas. Very difficult for him. He's inclined towards prayas, to immediate happiness. This is the Sudra quality. But in the Vedic culture, a Sudra is not given much facility. A Sudra is not given much wealth. A Sudra is given simple rewards. He's not getting any money for his work. In the Vedic culture, a Sudra is getting housing, he's getting clothing, he's getting food, but no money. No way. Right? And it is basically simple. He doesn't even get the best and the most fancy. He gets simple clothing. Right? He's just basically poor. He's meant to be poor. Poverty is not, as it is made out to be, a terrible punishment. Right? We are not speaking about extreme poverty, where a person has no food, etc., and no clothing. But we're talking about the level of poverty where a person has simple food, simple clothing, simple living in return for his exchange. Such poverty is meant for the sudras. Such poverty is a blessing for the sudras. The so-called economic development where every sudra is having a lot of money in the bank is not at all beneficial. Because that so-called advancement in society is giving too much facility in the hands of unqualified people. What will they do with all that money? They will misuse it. They will buy drugs, alcohol, they engage in prostitution, etc. And that's what it's used for. So the sudra, if you give him money, will simply misuse the money and degrade himself through it. Therefore, poverty actually is a blessing for the general mass of people. It is a protection. Sometimes this question is asked about India. Why is it that the people of India who are pious are living in poverty? The answer given is because the Lord protects them. He protects them from becoming too degraded. There's also other answers given, but this is one of the answers given by Srila Prabhupada occasionally. And today we're taking it in this way. So, a sudra may not be one of many personal qualifications. A sudra is not very qualified to make spiritual advancement because a sudra cannot accept the injunctions of the scriptures. Although he hears them, he doesn't follow them because he follows his mind and senses. This is the quality of the sudra. Whereas the brahmana, as soon as he hears a transcendental or a spiritual instruction from scriptures, he follows. That is the difference. The sudra says, oh no, I can't do that. That's not me. I am the way I am. And therefore he's dictated by his so-called nature, which is the nature of the body. So the sudra allows the body to dictate his life. The body demands and the sudra is responding. But still, the sudra can also be purified by his service attitude. That is his purifying quality. So if he is in a mood of serving, and then specifically if he serves a master who is properly situated, then he'll share in the benefits. This is the nature of Vedic culture. The nature of spiritual life is that when one person is doing a positive activity, anybody who assists him is also sharing in that benefit. That is the law of nature. If you assist a person who is doing demoniac activity, you will also share in the benefit, in the negative reaction. Therefore, if you work for a company that is somehow or other killing, indirectly taking advantage of the products of the slaughterhouse, then you are also connected to the slaughterhouse. And in this way, you will suffer also karmic reactions. So the sudra depends very much on the master he serves. But in a society where those who are, where the masters are those who are following scriptures, the sudra is well situated as a servant. So a classless society, a society where everyone is equal, is false. Equality may exist on the spiritual platform, but it does not exist at all on the material platform. And it is ridiculous to create a society and proclaim that everyone is equal when everyone is not at all equal. Everyone is very different. So in the Vedic culture, the man who is able to live simple, the man who is able to control his senses, The man who is able to dedicate himself to following the scriptures and to religiousness, that man is held in high esteem. He is the greatest. So that is a culture where the hierarchy is proper. In our modern times, we tend to go towards equality. Everyone is equal, and therefore also these days, everyone's opinion is equal. And everyone equally has the right to have his own idea, and everyone should listen to his own, to everybody's ideas, should be open, and should not think that his own idea is superior to another. This is modern philosophy, and this is the modern moral. But in reality, there is a hierarchy within knowledge, right? And therefore not every knowledge, every level of knowledge is the same. But rather, there is a hierarchy, and some knowledge is superior, and some knowledge is inferior. The knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate knowledge. It is perfect knowledge, and therefore, this is what can destroy all misconceptions. Therefore, we know that when we are devotees, Prabhupada said sometimes people come to us and they say, oh, we are also practicing spiritual life. And then they come with some sort of mood from, well, yes, and you are also practicing spiritual life, therefore you are okay and we are okay and we are very nicely together, all being so spiritual. But Prabhupada simply said, no, we should tell such people, we are right and you are wrong. Right? We should just tell them that, you know. He says, everything you say stinks, you know, and everything we say is the bee's knees, you know, is completely it. Right? That's what we should basically say. This is not false pride. This is not arrogance. It may sound like that, but this is not arrogance. This is reality. Because there is a hierarchy of spiritual knowledge. And this is perfect knowledge. It is not our knowledge. It is delivered by the Supreme Lord. And it is being preserved like that. So the Varna Ashram system is based and directed on the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. It is not developing whimsically. All the cultures of the world are just developing whimsically according to people's tastes, and they are together sharing tastes. Because enjoying material things all by yourself is not very exciting. So therefore, we see that countries develop cultures because people, they enjoy it together. No one drinks alone. You know, you drink together. And this is the thing. There you go. Where? To hell. Together. And this is culture. In this way, cultures, material cultures exist, that people share the same things. They all like to eat onions and garlic together, or they like to eat cheese together, or they like to... the thing is sharing. Right? This sharing is the experience. And it is felt that this is... People become very attached to a culture, that this is the juice of life, their particular culture. But all these cultures are not beneficial. So the only culture that is beneficial is spiritual culture, the culture that Krishna has given. And that is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is describing, a culture which can uplift us. So it is important that in Krishna consciousness, we do not just embrace a philosophy, but that we also accept the culture of Krishna consciousness. If we merely get into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you're not the body, you're the eternal servant of Krishna, by chanting 16 rounds you will attain pure Krishna consciousness, that would be wonderful if we could do that 24 hours a day. Then we wouldn't need any other culture. If we could simply chant 24 hours a day and always remember that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, then what would be the need of culture? Then from that everything would come. That would be perfect. But because we cannot chant 24 hours a day, then what will we do with the rest of the time? With the rest of the time, we will naturally act in particular ways in this world. And we will act in the patterns that are dictated by our culture. Huh? Like in Bosnia, the people act like Bosnians, right? And in Kazakhstan, they're all Kazakhstanis. And here in Holland, and they make strange noises. And in Holland, right, the people are Dutch, you know, they're from Holland, right? And they have a particular way in Holland, you know, very down to earth, you know, right with their feet on the ground, right, in Holland, yes? And, you know, practical, you know, very practical, right? And that's Holland, yes? Whereas in Britain, it's a stiff upper lip, etc. And in France, it is very profound and refined and culturel. In this way, these different moods may be there, and that is fine. But this is... So, we are conditioned by these cultures. We are conditioned by these habits, and that we bring with us in spiritual life. And we can see that even devotees, although we may say they are not not the body, we can speak about the Russian devotees. You know, everyone says, oh yeah, the Russians, I know those guys. Or we can speak about the French devotees, and some people will say, oh yes, the French devotees. The Bulgarian devotees, right? The Dutch devotees, etc. The British devotees. You know, in this way, the German devotees, right? In this way, we also speak about devotees according to their nationality. And we also see differences. We see differences in their mood, in the way. Because the culture of conditioning is coming also with us. As we are trying to become purified, because we are not on the level of Kirtanya Sadahari, always chanting Hare Krishna. We're not on that level. So, since we are into culture, we should change our culture. We should change it. We should change it for the culture of the Vaishnavas, Sadachar. We should stop being Dutch. Like once I saw some devotees in India, and they were Dutch. So what did they do? They cut their door in half. You know, like a traditional Dutch farmhouse, right, has the door in a horizontal way cut in half. And then the top half can be open and the bottom half is still closed, you know. And then you see the farmer leaning over his door, right, looking outside. So they had like that in India, you know, and it's looking at it like really Dutch, you know, very Dutch. Right. So the Vedic culture also has solutions, right? It has solutions for everything. Yes. As every culture has a solution. The half Dutch door may be considered practical by the Dutch farmer. He says, well, you get some fresh air like this, and at the same time, the dogs and the cats and the pigs don't walk into the house, you know, I imagine something like that. So a practical consideration. Yes. So every culture has practical solutions, right? And they do things for a reason. Right? So the Vedic culture, the Vaishnav culture, does things also for a reason. Now the culture of different countries in the world are simply meant for comfortable living in the material world, but the culture of the devotees is meant for spiritual advancement and for comfortably living in spiritual life. That is spiritual culture. That is the culture of Sadachar. Therefore we have to embrace that, and we have to throw away our conditioning. We should not hold on to our former identity. Because that former culture, so-called culture, is material. How do you feel if you have to eat vegetarian goulash, right? Vegetarian goulash, or vegetarian shashlik, or vegetarian kebab, or things like that. It's like not our culture. Our culture is a culture of that is a culture of the spiritual world. It is the culture of the spiritual world. So therefore, gradually, we have to develop the culture of the spiritual world, and we have to deal with each other in according to the behavior of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, in spiritual life, this principle of sadhachar, of the behavior of the sadhu, or sometimes translated as Vaishnav etiquette, is an essential principle, because it is culture. It is spiritual culture. So this is what we need to develop with each other. And within spiritual culture, there is no such thing as equality. Within spiritual culture, one is always worshipping and serving superiors. Everyone in spiritual culture is worshipping and serving superiors. And one is being merciful upon the juniors. Right? How to be merciful is an art, but one is merciful. And one is sharing and also serving the one's equals. So in all regards, one is serving. One is serving superiors. One is serving his equals. One is serving the juniors by teaching, by example. In this way, one is acting in spiritual culture in a mood of service. This is the central focus. The service attitude is the central principle of spiritual culture. So it is very important that we learn how to serve various Vaishnavas, because in that way we can, in a very practical way, while living in the material world, in our interactions with people, become purified. Whereas if we hold on to our previous ways, that will automatically entrap us in offenses. Because the cultures, the so-called material cultures, are by nature offensive. They are offensive to devotional service. Therefore, we should reject these cultures. We should reject our conditioning, and we should stop being conditioned by the nationality, by the place of our birth. We should give that up, and we should accept the ways of Vaishnav behavior. Questions or comments? No. On the platform of the soul, we're equal. Yes, but not equality. The soul is in quality. In quality, everyone is the same spiritual being. In that sense, there's spiritual equality. But everyone has a different relationship with Krishna. In that way, there's spiritual difference. And everyone, according to how close he is to Krishna, is spiritually considered higher or lower. So there is also a hierarchy in the spiritual world. It's not. Srimati Radharani is the topmost devotee, and therefore only through her can we please Krishna, and through her assistance and so forth. One cannot. So there is spiritual hierarchy also. But when we speak about spiritual equality, we mean that everyone is a spirit soul who is a 10,000th part of a tip of a hair, who is eternal, who is unborn, undying, who is constitutionally the servant of the Supreme Lord, who is a tiny little separated part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. Like that, there's everyone's equal, but different in his relationship with Krishna. Yeah, that's right. People engaging in so many sinful activities in a feast. It's not a real feast. It's not a real feast. They're trying to have a feast, but they're having it with so many sinful activities, so they don't become actually satisfied. Therefore, only real spiritual culture will satisfy, real spiritual feast will satisfy. So we have to, therefore, get into celebrating the spiritual appearance days, disappearance days, and so forth, of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. So therefore, it's said in the Nectar of Devotion that it's very important to celebrate all these feasts. Because we need feasts. It's natural to celebrate feasts. So actually Christmas is a perverted reflection of real feasts, spiritual activity. Okay, well hold on. But stay to one point. No 2 points, only 1 point at a time. You made 1 point. Okay. It's a sign of attachment from your side. You will only be able to accept the authority of a person who is positively inclined, right? And not one who is negatively inclined, then there's some resistance. So this is natural. We all have that, and that is part of our conditioning. If we would be on the pure devotional platform, then we would just accept everything as favorable. You see Jat Bharat, who was treated by his brothers in such a negative way, you know, they wouldn't give him even decent food. Yeah? But he never became mentally disturbed about it. He was completely equipoised, etc. So that's the spiritual platform. But because we are still on the material platform, when some difficulty is coming to us, something is opposing us, then we feel negative. When something is supporting us, we feel positive. So this is a sign of material conditioning. So considering that we have material conditioning, we should on a practical level, in interactions with devotees and in the hierarchy that exists among devotees, we must work it out. We must reveal our mind. We must not just merely be artificially on a humble platform and tolerant and acting as if we are so humble and tolerant as Jat Bharat, and that we can tolerate everything. If we cannot tolerate something, if the actions of an authority cause disturbance in our heart, then we must reveal that to the authority. But in a humble way. Not in a hysterical way, right? But we must reveal that, yeah, you know. You're driving me crazy! all right. is this really Vaishnava? Oh, yes, Maharaj said, yeah, to reveal your heart, you know. Right, so, don't use my name for this. The point is, you have to reveal your heart and mind, right? Not everything, of course, not your whole mind, only a portion of your mind, the most essential portion, in the proper way. That means respect, in a respectful way. But yeah, just explain that to the authority, Prabhu, with all due respect, I mean, I appreciate your point and I can understand that it's all your good considerations, but it makes me utterly unhappy and disturbed, and what to do now? I cannot function in that way. Please make some adjustment where I can also be satisfied in my service. Then the authority will go, well, In that case, right? And then it becomes a very reasonable solution, and there doesn't have to come about a disturbed relationship, and you know, and all these kind of things. Then the problem, the difference of opinion, is worked out in a nice and civilized way. Hari Hari Bol, and we all live happily ever after. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. Because we don't really believe it. There's some theoretical understanding that, and I guess we've come to the point where we say, well, most probably, you cannot really get material enjoyment in the material world. Most probably. Therefore, I'd better put my energy into spiritual practices. But then again, I'll keep my eyes open just in case some opportunity that's really far out comes by. And when it's coming really close, I think, well, you know, this looks really good. But now I won't do it. Looks good though. I won't do it. Yeah? And like that. And then sometimes, you know, you may think, well, you know, what can you do? And you just do it. And then they say, well, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect yet. You know, I just have a little material attachment. So the bottom line is doubt. The doubt is there. You have faith in both. You have faith in both. You don't have full faith in either. You don't believe fully in that Krishna consciousness is the only way to be happy. And you also don't believe that material life is going to make you fully happy. Therefore, we are acting as devotees, but we are still having a little doubt that maybe, after all, there is something good out there. That's it. We do not definitely have no faith in material life. We don't have much faith in material life. You know? But a little faith in material life is there, that there are a few things that are actually nice. Not many things. We know that over a whole, it's not going to work. But maybe there are a few things that are really good. She just told you one. Is it? Huh? Okay, then we give it up again, say, I should have known better. What a fool am I, right? And then you come to your senses, say, yeah, I should have just taken shelter of Krishna. Right? And then you're Krishna conscious for a day, 3 days, and you're really fired up. And then after a while, say, well, this Krishna consciousness is okay, but I don't always feel so inspired either. You know, it's heavy. And then, again, you know, book looks really interesting, actually. I just went to the bookstore to sell some substances and shadows, and then my eye caught on this Climbing Mount Insurmountable. Wow, what a title, you know. Which mount is that? Right. Or whatever, you know, you see some title and it catches your eye, you know, and you go for it. So that means we're not 100% convinced that you cannot enjoy in the material world. Maybe 90-something percent. And a couple of percent we just hold it. So, well, just some things are actually nice. And it's very difficult to give those up for Krishna. Mm-hmm. But no, there's nothing nice in the material world. We lose and we go for something. Yeah. What do we lose? Oh, if you do it. What's happening? You develop material attachment. It is our nature. We are like magnets. A magnet is pulled towards iron. So our hearts immediately become attached to anything and everything. It doesn't matter what it is, you become attached to it, right? So when you associate with something, you develop attachment for it. So when you go, when you engage in some sense gratification, will suck up your intelligence, your mind, your senses, everything is just being absorbed by that attachment. And that much you cannot give to Krishna, and therefore you will not experience full Krishna consciousness.
with all the ecstasies that go with it. That's what happens. You become attached. Frank? Sure.
Right.
Time, place, and circumstances. Yes. It's not necessary to just go around, grab everyone by the neck and tell them, like, you know, look, you know, all you're doing is nonsense. We're the only ones who know what it's all about. You know, pointing at your chest. No.
But we should know it. And to a Mayavadi, we can definitely do that. Right. In being with a Mayavadi, right, we should not support in any way the conviction of Mayavad. We should clearly, directly point out that Mayavad is off, that it's offensive, that it stinks, that it's useless, that it's just, we should just stomp on it. We should always point out that Vaishnava philosophy is the philosophy, etc., etc. We should not be soft on Mayavad. That's the example of the Supreme Lord, Lord Nityananda. It's the example of all the Acharyas. Whenever Mayavad was there, then they went for it. Prabhupada also was very strong in that way. I may not make it, I said. Sure, our duty is to make it in this lifetime. But at the same time, we shouldn't think that we're going to make it. So it's like our duty is to go back to Godhead this lifetime, but we cannot think, I will go back to Godhead this lifetime. But we should think, I will try to go back to Godhead this lifetime. I can't go walking around thinking, I will go back to Godhead this lifetime. I should think, I will never go back to Godhead, not in many lifetimes, because I'm a sinful rascal. So how can I go back to Godhead? No question. You will all go back to Godhead. So when you go, please pick me up. This is my request to all of you. I will not go. When it's time to board the bus, they'll tell you, sorry. Sorry. Not for you. I know. So, but I desire to go back to God. Alright, so let us leave it with food for thought. Go on to the next item of the day. Transcendental foodstuffs called prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.